Good morning, everyone. Welcome out to Murfreesboro Church today. Happy Father's Day to all you dads and granddads and great-granddads. And most of all, let's thank our Father in Heaven this morning for allowing us to be here. Grab a Heavenly Highway Hymns. Turn to page 210. 210. I think at this time we're going to have Brother Chris, maybe Sister Heather, come forth and do something with the kids that went to Do-Re-Mi camp this week.
Jesus, know not what God has revealed our souls. This is and do re mi. Didn't the kids do a great job? Y'all done a good job. That singing sounds good today. As you can tell, I'm still a little bit hoarse. So I'll have to say the bad part about it is Brother Key is not here today to be able to see the kids up singing. And we hate that he's not. He and Sister Shirley are not here today. Sister Shirley is not well still. I thought she was better, but my understanding is she's pretty sick, and so y'all keep her in mind. She's coughing quite a bit, is my understanding, but he thought it best to keep her home today and him stay with her. Gentlemen, your kids brought you a pen. Gentlemen, we didn't get roses like the ladies did. But most of us men would rather have a tool as a rose, I guess. I know some men would like to have roses too, but the pen itself, I was told to tell you, it has six different tools with it. So you do have something there that you can use, and remember it as your children brought you your Father's Day gift from us, and I hope that it is something that you will enjoy. Cohen brought me mine, and I'll put it in my pocket, and I'll be using it from time to time. And I hope everyone, all of our gentlemen, will enjoy that. I do want to say that happy Father's Day to each and every father here. For you that may not have your father here today, maybe he's in a better place. We can wish them happy Father's Day through the Spirit. And what I would say, if there's anyone here today that is unsaved, the best Father's Day present that you can give your father is to join him in heaven one of these days. And I want you to be praying about that very much today. It's good to get the news about the five being saved at Do-Re-Mi this week. I've heard about some more at different places. I've heard about some that have been seeking the Lord in different places, but as of yet, they have not been saved. And we need to keep those in mind. Revival is still in progress at Enos Chapel, also at Underwood. And I went blank. I should have had my list out, is what I should have done. Revival will be starting, though, tonight at Caney Fork and at Sulphur Fork and at Cornwall's Chapel. I want you to remember those churches. There's other revivals going on, but that's the ones I can remember off the top of my head. It's important for us to pray for our sister churches. And as I said, as far as our association is going, there's some of our churches that are experiencing some changes. I've heard about a new pastor being elected. I don't know if he has taken the church yet in our association. And then I've heard another church that our pastor had resigned as of recent time. So our churches and our sister churches, they need our prayers. Just as you was without a pastor for a while, and you wanted them to pray for you, we need to pray for them, is what we need to do. Now, we're going to get on about a business here today. And as usual, we have our children's church. We want our children to be gathered together. I've asked Brother Sam to do it again today because my voice is still not that strong. So I'm going to ask him to go ahead and do children's church again. But there is another reason. Brother Sam is going to be busy preaching next Sunday over at Cave Springs. So y'all remember him for that. The children can collect him with Brother Sam right over here.
Well, it's a good-looking bunch here. Been kind of difficult for me to think about, you know, what I might do. Sometimes there'll be a thought that'll come to me real quick, sometimes not. But I had a thought this morning. So this is what you're going to get. Today's Father's Day, right? And did you give your father a special hug today, those of you? Could? Yes? No? Throw a rock at him? Because he made you get out of bed? Anyway, thank God for your fathers. Let's study about the Old Testament just a little bit. Have y'all ever heard? Yeah? You think we could go through part of them here, the first part? Remember the first one? What does it say? No gods before me. Remember that? The second one? What is that? Well, you're the man. Stand up and preach it. Don't have any idols. That's right. The third one says, don't take the name of God in vain. Okay? Don't do that. The second one is, on Sunday, do what? Wow. Y'all are good. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the fifth one, and that's where we're going to stop for just a minute. What does it say? Remember, this is Father's Day. Stand up. There you go. That's right. It says that so that you might have long days on the earth. And I tell you something, too. Y'all all have a father. And you can't not make him be your father. He's your father. He's your biological father. That will never change. You all have a father. Come in, honey. Come on in here. Good. That will never change. And when all of you get to know the Lord and he saves you, that will never change either. You can't unfather him. He will always be your father. So on this Father's Day, I want you to give your dad a special hug and a little love and say, I'm glad you're my father and I love you. And when you can, pray for your own soul that the Lord will save you and that he will be your father, and that will never, ever, ever change. I love all of you. This is my short message, so stand up and we'll say the first part of that verse. Let's go. Let's stand up real quick. We're burning daylight. Let's go. Real loud. Honor thy father and mother.
Honor thy father and mother.
Amen. Y'all can go.
A good appropriate lesson today. Thank you, Brother Sam. Let me make a few quick announcements before we get into our prayer request time. We are having a Red Cross blood drive here this Wednesday. That's from 10 until 3 p.m. There is a sign-up sheet there in the foyer. Not many names are on there. So if you can donate blood, it'll be back here in the fellowship hall. If you can come and take part in that Wednesday, I'll put my name down here shortly myself, and I'll basically take what's leftovers is what I'll do, since I'll be here about all afternoon anyway. So keep that in mind. Our youth skating event will be next Sunday night, and that is from 6:30 till 8:30. And that is at the Smyrna Skate Ring. The skating ring will be open to the church and us only. And there will be skates, pizzas, and Cokes to drink. Our vacation Bible school is getting here quickly. That's July the 7th through the 9th. And if you have not registered your children, or if you know somebody that would like to try to get registered, recommend to them our vacation Bible school. But that is July 7th through the 9th, so keep that on your heart. And then we will be having another singing here on July the 11th at 5 p.m. That's a Sunday. That will be Lakeside. We'll be singing here. They are a gospel bluegrass concert is what it'll be. And so keep that in mind. That's July the 11th. And then I do need to mention that Joyful Hearts will meet again on July the 16th for their meeting day here at the church also. And then Revival is the other thing that I want us to keep in mind. And that will be on July the 8th, starting July the 18th. It will run through at least on Wednesday night. And Brother Luke Spurgeon will be helping us in, or doing the majority of the preaching for that revival. He has been at Enos Chapel all this week. They've had four different ones to seek the Lord there, but none of them have been saved as far as they know. Truthfully, I wish you could have heard his sermon last night. It was a very good message on being a moaner and talking about the basically how there is coming a time that you can either mourn in this world, seek the Lord in this world, or you can be a mourner in the world to come if you do not get saved. And so he preached a really good message last night, powerful message. And so I'll ask you to continue to pray for him. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, take my word for it. It was a powerful message from God. But he can't preach except the Lord help him. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is pray that the Lord, when he gets here, that the Lord will give him a double portion of spirit to preach twice as good as he did last night, twice as hard last night. Why am I saying that? Because we need it. We've got sinners that needs it. Before the sinners can get saved, truthfully, we as a church needs to get revived. And I hope and pray that I'll do my part and we'll do our part and we'll be ready for revival before that, by the time he gets here. But if we're not ready, we pray that he'll have the messages that'll get us fired up. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to get fired up and ready to serve the Lord. So let's keep that on our hearts and on our minds is what I want us to do. Now, that being the announcements today, we're going to be going to the Lord in prayer today here in just a few minutes. And we always have one of the young people to come up and read a prayer request. Where is my reader today? I got me a new one. That'll be fine. You pray for hope. That's your heart. I went to see about somebody to do it, and she volunteered. Bless her, excuse me, bless her heart. She done a good job, and I hope everybody was able to hear her. If you didn't understand what was requested in those prayers, God knows. God knows who they are. And I will ask that you remember them in your prayers. Is there any other prayer request that needs to come before the church this morning? Lord help. His boss has, his wife has cancer, and we asked you to pray for her. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. He is healing, but it's a long, slow, painful process. Amen. Let's do remember Brother Kevin Lowry in our prayers. Somebody else. Let's continue to remember our sick. As I said, let's don't forget Sister Shirley, that the Lord will help her to get well. And let's pray that the Lord will just bless us all throughout this day. We need to pray for one another, in other words. I don't know about you, but I need your prayers. But I got a feeling you need my prayers too. So you pray for me today that I'll pray for you. Somebody else? I also want us to remember Sister Heather Benchin, the ones that were seeking the Lord at Doray Meet and the ones that have been seeking at other places. We've got a lot of people here in this church that's not been saved. As it's been said, I've got a list of them here that's been given to me of people that needs to get saved. Let's get them on our hearts. If you've got two or three people that you know offhand that you would love to see get saved, start praying for them. And a lot of times what I'll say is put special emphasis on one person. If you'll get them on your heart like that and you'll start praying for that one person, and then we invite others too, you know what we do? We end up getting more prayers for that person, and we'll see them get saved. Anybody else have any other prayer requests on your heart? We thank you for being here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. Make yourself right at home with us. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you pray. You pray today just like you was talking to your good Lord at your normal place of prayer. It don't matter if you pray out loud or if you pray quietly. Just pray is the main thing. Anybody have another prayer request? Oh, I do have one other announcement I do need to make before we go to that. Brother Seth, will you stand up? Everybody congratulate him. He's a new daddy. He gets to experience his first Father's Day. Sorry about that. I meant to do that earlier.
Oh, no, it's been one of the greatest blessings of this life.
I'm sure you know. I know what you mean. We are glad to have Brother Seth with us today. I don't think they was expecting him to leave the baby today, but we're glad that he is here today. And as I said the other night, when the baby was being born, and I'm not good with names, you know that, let's start praying that baby gets saved. Let's start praying for that. Anybody else have another prayer request on your heart? We're going to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way today. If there's no other prayer request, Brother Sam, will you start our prayer, please?
As we continue our worship, turn over to page 143. good singing this morning, y'all. Amen. Let's do one more congregational song, a song we haven't done here in a while. Turn over to page 306. 306.
Thank you.
while they're standing. If you want to sing in the choir, we would love to have you come up here. Please always feel free to join us and sing in the choir. Grab the gray book, please.
Sure, the singing will be much better than the preaching will sound. Singing's been good this morning. Enjoyed that very much. Oh, by the way, you like me now. Hey, Brother Brad, come back here. We make a pretty good set of bookends, don't we? Bless you. We got the memo. We wore black today is what we did, so... It is good to see everybody here today. Glad to have our visitors with us. Some of you may be here for the first time. And if you are, we are glad to have you with us. And I hope that the Lord will bless you for being here today. And as I said earlier, if you're here today and you're saved, just join in and worship with us is what I want you to do. But if you've not been saved, We've got these benches set out down here on front. It's a place that's set aside to pray, not only for the ones that are needing to be saved, but for everybody in the church. And there's times that we all need to come together here in the altar area and pray. But it is set aside for those that needs to get saved. It's a place set aside where you can come and pray. Now, the bench that I got saved on was not made like these. It doesn't matter what kind of bench it is. I got asked years ago, do you have to be on a Moner's bench, is what we call them. That's the old-timey name. Actually, it came from the Methodists. The name did. The Methodist people came up with the Moner's bench, the altar area to pray at. But it's a good thing that we can come together and pray in this area. You don't have to be here to get saved. You can get saved in one of these other benches. You can get saved in the back of the house. You can run outside. You can get saved at home. You can get saved anywhere that you get your heart right with God. And that's what I would suggest very strongly for you today, is to get your heart right with God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Call upon Him until that you know that you know that you've been saved. That's what this is all about here today. We're trying to take some folks with us to heaven. Now, we're not getting up the busload today, but we want you to know that we want you to go with us, is what we want you to do. And as I look around and I see different faces that I haven't heard about you being saved as of yet, I want you to know I'm wanting you to get saved. I want you to go with me, is what I want you to do. Before I go any further in the service, does anybody have a testimony or anything upon your heart today that needs to be said or done in this service today? Amen. Bless your heart. It is important for us to keep in mind those people that basically don't want to hear about Jesus. We need to tell them what has happened inside of us. We need to share that fact that Jesus does save. God saves our souls. And when we share that with them, as he said, they may not want to hear you. They may not want to speak to you, especially if they've been brought up some other way. They may not want to speak to you for a while, but you've given them the best gift, their best gift that they could ever receive. It's up to them whether or not they're going to get saved or not, whether they're going to come to the Lord or not. But you've given them the opportunity is what you've done. Anybody else got a word on your heart? Again, we're glad to have everybody with us today. We're glad to have our visitors. Make yourself right at home with us. As I started to say earlier, we do not have a program. We may sing other songs. We may preach a little short. We may preach a little long. We don't get out at a certain time, in other words. But we hope that you feel the Spirit of God here, is what we hope that you do more than anything else today. Let's get into our message. If nobody has anything on your heart, you can turn to the 5th chapter of Romans, is where we're going to take our one verse for our reading lesson. Most of our verses today are very commonly preached out of our pulpits. Most of our verses that we will use today. But I want to try to bring out a thought that came out to my mind. I guess it's about Wednesday night as I was leaving here. I guess was when, as I was driving home thinking about, well, I've got Bible study behind me. It's time to think about the sermon today. And this was a thought that came to me. And this message is going to be a similar message that I'm not real sure exactly how long ago it's been that I preached it. I don't believe I preached it here, but I think I preached it for the our TV broadcast. And on the TV broadcast, I called it, "Do You Know How It Feels?" If you're familiar with the gospel group, the McCameys, they've had that song for years. Do you know how it feels? Now, it's not what I'm going to title this message today, but this kind of gets down to the place of where we're going with this message. And I asked you to pray for my voice, that it'll be as clear, so that it doesn't distract anybody. Nobody feels sorry for me for anything else. But main thing is, I want you to hear it. I want everybody to hear what we're talking about today, because I want you to know how it feels to be saved. Now, we're going to start out this way, because I've heard this statement made a lot of times. If you grew up in our type of churches, probably sometime or another, you may have saw a friend of yours get saved. You may have saw one maybe starting to come under conviction and starting to seek the Lord. You may have done this. I don't remember doing it myself, but I've heard a lot of people testify to this fact. They'd say, Mama or Daddy one, how will I know that I'm lost? Now, the ones that I remember when they had asked this question, they said their parent told them, you'll know. You'll just know. Well, how will I know when I'm saved? Well, you'll just know. Kind of a vague answer, isn't it? It's really kind of a vague answer, but it's one that's found in the Scripture too. You will know when you get saved. I want you to realize that today. Now, I know there's a lot of doubt that runs through a lot of us. And what I mean by that, I know exactly what you're saying, because the moment that I got saved, and this is the way that I described my salvation. When that I got saved, I was sitting there on that mourner's bench, and I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, everything just went away. I'm talking about the troubles and everything else. And I just felt fresh. I felt new. And I thought, well, that wasn't what I expected. I didn't expect to... I don't know what I really expected to feel like, but I had a feeling that I was just new. And really and truly, that is a true statement. You are new inside. You become a new creature according to the Bible. You become something that is brand new. You're born again. Brother Seth got to witness the birth of his son. For all of us who have got to witness that, that is a marvelous thing, isn't it, Brother Rodney? It is a marvelous thing just to get to experience that child being born, that new child. And if we'll liken it unto the time that we were saved, we realize we were brand new also. Now, as I said, when I got saved, I felt brand new. I felt fresh. I felt like I was something going on. But immediately, and I think I mentioned this last week, the devil popped up and he got right in my ear. And the first thing he said was, that's not what you thought it was going to be. Or that's not what you thought salvation would be. You thought salvation would be this. You thought it would come when your daddy spoke to you. You thought that you would. That's our problem. A lot of times we think too much, especially as sinners. We think way too much about what we expect. But what God gives us is found in our reading lesson today. First verse of the fifth chapter. As I said, one that we use, a lot. Therefore, being justified, being saved, in other words, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us that has been saved has received the same salvation. It's no different for me as it was for Sister Ruth. It's no different for me than it was for anybody else here. But it is the same, and we all receive the same salvation. And what the way that Paul described it here was peace with God. Now, where the difference comes into play is the way that we describe when we get saved. Years ago, when I was pastoring a particular church, we had a little girl that came down to the altar to pray, and the Lord got into my heart that night. She had never really been into one of our churches. She'd never been around a place where people were talking about salvation. Her daddy was saved. I'm not sure about her mother, but the fact of the matter was she was seeking the Lord, and it hit me. How is she going to know what salvation is? And I just asked the church, I said, give me one or two words. And I started over here, and I just asked them, give me one or two words how you felt when you got saved. If I did that today in this congregation, they'd probably be just about as many different answers as there was in that day. And I guess some of them did give me one word. Most of them said happy. It was just so much joy inside of me. As I said, some said fresh, some said new. One said, felt like a bucket of water had been poured over them. Bucket of cold water, refreshing, in other words. Some said clean. Some said forgiven. Some of them said alive. Now, these are all different ways of describing how we felt when we got saved. But we want to give you what the Bible says here today in this message here. Because if I don't back this up with the Bible, I'm going to be going the wrong way first of all. Back a few years ago, there was a man who sent me a question. Where is feeling your salvation in the Bible? Was his question. And I proceeded to give him a couple of pages of scripture on where feeling your salvation in the Bible. And I'll start out quickly right here. And the very first verse or very first thing I said, that actual phrase is not in the Bible. It's not in there. Feeling your salvation as far as a phrase is not in there. But according to Bible, it's all throughout the Bible as far as feelings is concerned. Did you notice the word peace? That is a feeling. Did you notice the words joy and happiness? They are in the Bible. And they are feelings, aren't they? And one of the other things that a lot of people do not realize that is in there, how about trouble? Wait a minute, that's not a sound of salvation, is it? That's not a word that we usually put into the term of being saved, having trouble, but it is a word that precedes salvation. Let me give you the verse on this. In the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, the psalmist David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Is cry an emotion? Is that a feeling? Really, it is. He said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Now, if you think about a horrible pit, it is a horrible place. It's a frightening place. It's a scary place. It's a place of danger. It's a place in which that there, in a sense, there is no way out. And when you consider a lost soul's condition, they are in a horrible pit in this way. They are in a place where they cannot get out of by themselves. There's no man that can bring them out of that horrible pit. The only one that can bring them out of that pit is the Lord Himself. Peter said, "There is none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved," is what he said. No other man in the world can bring about salvation but the Lord Himself. So the psalmist said, he said, "Out of the miry clay." He understood that his condition, his sinful condition, was a place in which that he was stuck. He understood that he was stuck in the filthiness of sin. And because of that, he said, "The Lord hath brought me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock," is what he said. "And he established my goings." Now, as you think about the horrible pit, the fear, the filth of the sin itself, then when that all of those things go away, then we realize today there is a change. Let me liken it to this first of all. One of the things that I told this gentleman in my writings to him was this. If you have a room that is lit up by these lights, no windows, no windows in here, it would be totally black, wouldn't it? But if we flip the lights on, it covers the entire room itself. The light took its place, didn't it? What is the darkness before that? If you actually check the actual interpretation of that, light is darkness is the absence of light. It is the absence of light. You see, inside of a sinner's heart, they are in darkness. They're in that horrible pit. If you want to check the scriptures on that, you go over into the book of Acts where the apostle Paul was giving his testimony unto King, unto King Agrippa and to Festus. And he said, when the Lord had saved him, he said, "I'm going to call you for a purpose." He said, "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light." There is a difference in being saved and being a sinner. Now, as you listen to this today, I want you to see that that difference that there is in that, it will show the feeling that there is. There becomes a knowledge and understanding that you have changed within. That change is evidenced by a peace that comes from God. When a person is troubled in their sin, you may have been one of these. I was. The day that I got saved, I was afraid. When I got saved, after that peace came in, I was not afraid. The absence of fear became peace within my soul, is what it did. And as that absence of fear came in, I had that salvation that it was there. Now, One of the other things that I want to try to bring out today in this message is how that you might know that you have been saved. Let me give you an example. We're going to the son of King David. Solomon, the wisest man, the Bible says, that ever was. He wrote so many different proverbs. He wrote so many songs. You can find some of his songs in the Songs of Solomon, but I like to give you a portion of the third chapter because I believe this is Solomon's testimony of when he got saved. He says in the first verse of the third chapter, he said, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." Now let me ask you something. Is love a feeling? It sure is. Now, as he was writing this song, he was writing after the fact. And as he was making this statement, he said, "Upon my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth," is what he said. Have you ever sought the Lord on your bed? I did. I didn't find him there. I know people that did find him on their bed. But Solomon didn't either. It said, "When I sought him there," he said, "I found him not." He said, "I will arise," is what he said, "and I will go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth." And my friends, what he says, "But I found him not." You know, a lot of people today says if you don't get saved the first time you go to find him, you won't be saved. Well, if that was true, I wasted a lot of time for 3 years and been wasting a lot of time since I was 14 years old because I didn't get it the first time I went seeking after it. I sought him many a time, but I was persistent. I kept searching. I kept feeling after him. I kept trying to find him, just like Solomon did. He said, "I went a little ways," and he said, "I found a watchman that goes about the city, and he found me." Hey, there was a guard out there that was watching the city. He said, "Have you seen him whom my soul loveth?" It's a good practice center, friends, to ask people that knows the Lord to direct you in the right way, to show you how they got saved, tell you how they got saved. This young man, he said in the fourth verse, he says, "It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth." He said, "I found him." Have you ever, let me say it in this way, have you been real desperate to find something? Have you looked at a time somewhere in your lifetime, maybe it was some money you thought that you had, but it wasn't where you thought it was. Maybe it was a particular item and you just about panicked is basically what I'll say. You panicked to the point that you really got down and searched for that one item. You know, the Lord used that. The Lord used that in this way. He said there was a woman who had 10 pieces of silver. And she dropped one. She lost it. And what she did, she lit a candle and she swept the floor searching for that one lost piece. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You search until you find it. Solomon said, "It was just a little while after I'd left those watchmen, but I found him." You see, when that lady found that piece of silver, she said that she rejoiced at finding it. She knew she found it. She knew that it was there. She knew that she had found that lost piece. Solomon said, when I had found him, I wouldn't let him go until that I had carried him unto my mother's chamber. One of the things that a person, when they get saved, there will become a great love within them. And they want to share the fact that they've been born into the family of God. They want to share the fact that I got saved. Solomon said, I wanted to carry him back to mama. I wanted her to know that I've been saved. He said, I wanted to carry it back. You know, that great love will also be inside of us, that we'll want others saved. There becomes that great love within of us that we want that friend of ours. When I was seeking the Lord, there was 5-6 of us on the altar. 2 had done got saved before me, and I know there was 2 or 3 more that was there. You know what I did? Sammy, you can get saved too. I did. Went over to the other side, told them, I got saved, you can too. Some of the best evidence that we see of individuals being born into the family of God is the fact that they have a desire to show other people, tell other people about being saved. But the original feeling is peace with God. That's the original feeling that evolves into a great love, that evolves into a sweet peace. Sometimes it even evolves into the Spirit of God moving people. You know, me, I didn't do it this way. But a lot of people do. I ain't going to say a lot of people, but some people do. Sometimes the Spirit of God gets a hold of individuals as they are saved by the grace of God. Let me give you an example. Out of the 10th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles, this was the first time that the gospel had been preached to a Gentile. You know who a Gentile was? They weren't a Jew. They were people that were considered to be evil people. They weren't God's people. They were sinners. But God told Peter, he said, you're going to go. He said, don't call anything I've cleansed common or unclean. And he went down to Cornelius' house. And as he got there, he started preaching to them and preaching about Jesus and him crucified. And he said, in the 44th verse, he said, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came upon them. You know what? They got saved. They were not saved beforehand, but the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began, as the Bible says, it says, and it fell on them which heard the words. And they of the circumcised, the Jews that were with Peter, they were amazed. They didn't think non-Jews could get saved. You know, sometimes we as God's people, we're guilty of thinking, well, just anybody can't get saved unless they go to our church. That's a lie. Amen. That's a lie. I tell you what, anybody can get saved if they'll turn their heart unto the Lord after hearing the gospel preached. And these people turned their hearts unto the Lord. And it says, and out upon them was poured the Holy Ghost, and they heard them speak with tongues. Now let me verify, give you a little bit of understanding here. This tongues was the language of those men. It didn't say unknown, and it wasn't unknown. It was only their language that they began to praise the Lord and magnify God. You say, When I got saved, I'm going to use me for example. I know me better than anybody else. I can remember, like I said, the devil popped in there and he said, that's not what you expected. You thought this would happen. You thought that would happen. This was not what you thought it would be. You've heard me tell the rest of the story, but let me skip up to the place where my mother had pulled my hands down after my cousin had gotten saved. And people thought that I'd said I was saved, and I hadn't said a word. But I remember that old pastor, him looking down, and he said, Ricky, has anything happened to you? You know what I did? Before the devil had a chance, I said, yeah, I think so. According to the book of James, it says it is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me right then. And I knew I was saved. I was done saved before I told it, but I'll tell you what I did. I just got so full of the Spirit that I said, I know it has. It wasn't a think so. It was a know so. I knew right then and there I had been saved. And I said, yes, it has. I have been saved. That joy just bubbled up inside of me like a spring is what I described it at. And it was a great joy. But that joy comes when we confess the Lord publicly. When we cry out and we receive the peace. I don't care who you are. You may describe it many different ways, but he says, therefore by faith, we have peace with God. That's the salvation plan right there. That's it right there in a nutshell. We have that peace with God is what we have. We describe the results many different ways. But more than anything else, we have peace with God. Does everybody recognize it when it happens? No. Not everybody does. But the peace is there forevermore. It's there forevermore. And it'll carry us on to glory, is what it'll do. Now, Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. There's many scriptures that tells us about knowing that we're saved, having that peace, knowing that we can experience that. And like I said, we may describe it. And sometimes it may confuse some of the sinners. Well, I thought I was supposed to feel the Spirit in a great way. Maybe I was supposed to shout. Maybe I was just supposed to cry. Maybe it was supposed to come this way. Maybe I was just supposed to be sitting there and just enjoy it. Let me give you a quick testimony. This young man got saved last Sunday. I think he's about 10, 11 year old. They'd had a good service up at Mount Tabor. One of the men that was ordained Saturday, it was his son. Scott said that he had noticed his son was very fidgety, very wiggly. And he said, I noticed him, and I just knelt down and asked him, are you all right, Peyton? And he just started crying, I think is the way he said it. And then he took off to the altar. And he said he hadn't been up there very long. And he just raised up. He didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. Finally, the pastor said, Peyton, did something happen to you? I got saved. I got saved. My nephew said that the longer he went, the bigger his smile went. We saw him yesterday And Paul said something to him, but I heard good news to you out of you. He said, yes, ma'am, I got saved. And that was the way his mouth was. He had a big old smile on his face. See, the salvation is the same. The reaction is different with us. If you look more for more than peace, well, peace is what you're going to get. If you want the rest, just follow the Lord. Brother Brad, that's going to be my message. If you're here today and lost, come and seek the Lord. We get...